coming to you live and direct from the phantom shores of the Hudson River. My name is Ra, and I'm here to awaken the dormant particles that are spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me as we go further down the mystical spiral of life. It's Spiral Radio, where each and every week we unveil the different shades of you and the different shades of me until we all vibrate the same frequency. We have an amazing waxing Scorpio crescent moon tonight, and my friend and guest is Solaris Blue Raven, who you can find at nightshadowanomalydetectives.com. That's anomaly, A-N-O-M-A-L-Y, nightshadowanomalydetectives.com. And you can find all of her wonderful books through that website and through Amazon. And she'll also update us on any other places you can find her documentary. And I'm pretty sure if you buy her documentary sometime soon and mention my radio show, that she'll give you a good deal. And this hour is going to go by way too fast. And we had a little bit of technical difficulty, so we already lost 5 minutes. So I just want to bring her right on so we can get into it. Solaris, how are you doing? I'm glad you're finally back on Spiral Radio.
Well, thank you, Ron. It's great to be back on your show, so thanks for inviting me. And yes, if anybody orders the Eye of the Remote, a Disclosure and Covert Technology DVD on my website and mentions Ron's show, you can get half off, so make sure you do that.
Yeah, and, you know, I saw your documentary when you sent it to me a year or so ago, and it is well worth it. The information that you're bringing on there, like I was saying earlier, that the masses are going to naturally try to suppress, because what you were experiencing 10, 12 years ago, maybe even more, 15 years ago almost, you know, if it was 13 years ago, right? 2004 it was?
Yep.
People are just starting to get a little light shined on them about these topics now, and just starting to see it more, you know, in days right now, like in the days to follow. You're going to see that a lot of stuff that she's been talking about for years and years are going to be more integrated in society, and you're going to see that those technologies have been around for a long period of time and how they are weaponized now.
Exactly. Yeah. All is being revealed. There's no doubt about it. So hold on for the ride.
For sure. So I figured, you know, since it's close to Halloween, Samhain, and us both being into witchcraft traditions and the occult, which is hidden knowledge, that it would be pretty cool to talk about certain aspects of magic, and certain, maybe you could say, like, the veil almost becomes thinner at this time of year. And I think, and I would love to hear your opinion on this, that there was, I know we touched on it maybe on my other show, and anybody, you could check out Solaris on my other show on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. You can find through my website, themysticalspiral.com, and we talked about timelines, and I'm interested to hear if you think that there was some sort of portal opening or some sort of activation or some kind of information that was brought to our planet, and then maybe even a portal opening or us losing access to certain portals during this recent solar eclipse.
Right.
That passed.
Well, it seems to me like we did touch on this a little bit on your other show, but I would say that there are, in my opinion, there's some distortion happening here. A lot of distortion coming from pure energy descending onto the planet from more than the galactic center. But then you have other things happening where there's a weaponization of our entire atmosphere. Ionosphere has been weaponized. Everything here has been hijacked in frequency, so you've got a distortion coming in. And for anybody who's a sensitive, an empath, a psychic, a craft practitioner, witch, anyone who is just plain sensitive to energy or has a very powerful multidimensional design is going to pick up on that. So what I would say is use discernment, because, yes, the veils are thin, but what I'm seeing is more of a bleed-through effect, and what I call the parallel bleed-through, because you've got more and more of these dimensions merging together, but some of them are just not in resonance or synced up properly because of the distortion that's coming in. So once again, it's clarity. And asking for clarity when you're doing whatever work you're doing in the magical realms, or even just through meditation in daily life. So that's my suggestion.
Yeah, I mean, so do you think that, because I feel there are ancient entities and ancient, if you want to say, beings that are in our genetic memory and in our imprinted on our consciousness and on our world and on our realms, that are now coming back, goddess energy possibly, like from ancient Egyptian times, Atlantis, all these times that are now returning. Yeah.
I totally agree with you, and you're one of them. You know that I've said this before about you, but you know I kind of call it like a grail keeper. We're here as in activation of our ancestors to some degree, and of course around Samhain, around this time of year, we have the communion with our ancestors, respect for those who were here before us, and that's not just about your regular ancestry. This is all about celestial heritage as well. So you're connecting into all of these different types of dimensional frequencies and beings, and I would say, yeah, that is a parallel. Once again, we're dealing with a reenactment almost of the Atlantean timelines where there's a power struggle, there's a psychic war, a telepathic war, technological war, it's all here. So I would say those of you who are really activated at the DNA celestial level, you're probably going to get some really refined messages coming in, especially right now because you're open to your celestial heritage and as we were touched on, the veils are thin, but there's a bleed-through effect, so you're getting more of a download. Once again, use your clarity and use your insight on that on a multidimensional scale because you don't want a distortion. But I would say, and it sounds like, and I kind of look at what you write on Facebook, and it always seems like you're streaming energy to me. It always sounds like you're getting messages, big messages. So I would pay attention to that, Ra. There's something going in where they're wanting you, or what I would say the ancestors are summoning you. You know, that's what it sounds like to me. Well, you know, sometimes we summon the ancestors, but I think we're being summoned. It's just like it's opposite right now on the timeline.
I think so, too. And you know what? We both do readings, and I've been doing readings, and actually you helped me with my readings in a way, because we were touching on it beforehand, because you know I used to do my readings for free, and because I was taught, you know, as a child that you're never supposed to receive money for or charge people and profit off of a lot of their misery, because a lot of times when you're doing readings on people, they're talking about painful things, you're dealing with a lot of misery from them and a lot of traumatic events, and I was taught don't profit off of misery. You know, you can exchange favors or they can help you in other ways, but not to take the actual money. But then I started to realize that money is energy, and it's people respect it more, you know, right, if they use energy as well. And I never thought I would be doing it on a wide scale either. I mean, I was taught to do it just for family and friends, you know, close friends. So I never started doing it on a wide base until, you know, the last few years. And now, you know, since I've taken a little tips from other people and different, these readings that I do now are far more intense, and I'm tapping into something that's very ancient as well. And I'm seeing certain people that are getting drawn to even getting readings from me, they have this same genetic encoding hidden within them, just dormant as well. And I'm seeing a lot of ancient Egyptian goddess energy and ancient energies that are fragments of information from these past ancestors, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed one thing, and I would love to hear if you've had any encounters with something like this as well, or if you have a certain name for it, because I know some people call them mind riders or spirit riders, or some people call them vision serpents. The Mayans call it like a vision serpent. But there is something that first travels in the etheric realms. Like it'll be like in our spirit realms, like coming from maybe like an ancestral realm, if you want to put it that way. And it first hits our soul and our spirit and our aura and our astral body, and then it can get to our material body as well. And it's basically genetic memory coming from an ancestral realm, and it can find its way to your material body, and it's sort of like a serpent or worm type thing, and it attaches itself to your spine. And it could go up your spine like a snake and hit the back of your brainstem and do something that, like some people, or I call fetching. And it'll fetch certain memories from your ancestral line and from your lifetime and your ancestors' lifetimes, and they'll play them in your head like memories that's not yours, but they feel real and they feel like they're yours, and they'll give you all these traumatic events or different types of events from your ancestral lineage that needs to be cured and needs to be healed, and it's coming from this realm to give you this message so you can help bring it wisdom. And it's like a snake that attaches itself to your spine and hits that primitive side of your brain, that base stem, the oldest part of us, which makes us deal in impulses. And I know the Mayans pictured it like with a snake with the eye in its mouth. And a lot of ancient cultures have different names for this. And I'm wondering if you've had encounters with something like this, like a spirit rider that comes from the ancestral realm. And it and when it's here and it hits the spine, most people don't know what it is because they've never had energy work or never have done any kind of energy work in their life. Right. So they feel psychotic, and they'll have issues of psychotic episodes, and they'll get depressed and have all these memories that's not theirs. And then it'll go back to the ancestral realm for a little while, and they'll feel sane again. And they'll feel like, what's wrong with me? Am I mad? But they don't realize it's like an ancestral snake, or whatever you want to call it.
Well, it sounds like Kundalini to me from what you're describing. It sounds like, you know, the serpent energy that goes from the base and literally travels up through the chakra system and out through the crown, but also connects to the full Akashic records and what we are as celestial beings, but also our ancestors. So, yeah, I've had a lot of that, but not in the sense of seeing it as a worm or something like that, but knowing the energy itself and the signature. So, yeah, very, very powerful stuff. And if your Kundalini activates too soon, or some people aren't prepared for it, like you were saying, they haven't done the spiritual work and the body, the vessel, your temple isn't prepared for that energy, it can create a distortion and make people very psychotic, or it can create all sorts of fragments in the psychological, on a psychological scale. So this is why it's so important to do the spiritual work, build up your light body, build up your chakra system, so you're able to channel and run the energies for that, because it's a very big deal. And yeah, it does connect to our ancestral line, but also who you are is multidimensional, and also your multidimensional timeline is based on simultaneous existence. So it's more about who you've been on and off planet, activating within, and also the work you've done before you arrived here, and while you're here, and also where you're heading. So once again, you know, all these lifetimes are starting to kind of collide into one. So you have this fruition of who you are as a multiversal being, what I call multiversal being.
Yeah, and let's talk about this too, because this bleed through that you're talking about, and I feel that you're spot on. And if you're just joining us, everybody in the chat room and everybody out there on ParaX or TuneIn or wherever you're listening to, we're with Solaris Blue Raven, and you can find her at NightShadowsAnomalyDetectives.com. And her book, 1,000,000 Miles to Midnight, we will talk maybe a little bit about that, but I don't want to give too much away because you got to get the book. And so let's talk a little bit about this bleed through, Solaris, because when you talk about this, I get goosebumps, I get chills all over me, and I feel that you're spot on with this. And sometimes I've been also talking to people who they'll be at certain places and they'll be having a hard deja vu, and they'll be seeing people walk in. Like my one friend, he lives in Arkansas, and he was telling me how he got this job, and he was at this job, and everybody that he would be meeting at this job, he would be getting deja vu, like all these people I've never met before. But I don't know, it's like I know them somehow, and when they talk, it's like I already knew they were going to, you know, be a certain way and have a certain personality. And I'm like, yeah, it's because your timelines are bleeding through.
Yeah, and it's almost like his oversoul is observing too, and that's another thing we were talking about, because as you observe, you can also be like the spy bird is seeing it from a parallax view. So you're seeing it from a multidimensional space on a higher frequency. So that's why it feels like deja vu to some degree, because you already see the game board, if that makes sense at all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was just reading what they were saying in the chat room too about the and the Kundalini. Yeah, you're right. That's the spirit, the spirit rider or mind rider, whatever people tend to call it. It's kind of like the Kundalini, but I think some people tend to associate the Kundalini with a sexual energy a lot, but it's more than that.
They keep it in the lower centers, then it can be sexual. And also, you know, the Tantra thing connects in with the Kundalini. But also, the Kundalini is also about your activation and your crown chakra, if you really know how to transcend it, yeah.
Yeah, and it was interesting, too, because the reading I did one last night and today, and the one I did last night, I was seeing a blue orb or blue sphere or some type of blue sphere and turning into a blue mist around the person. Like, And when I said that, they were like, that's weird, because like right before this, I meditated and I saw this like blue object in my room, and I like kind of like didn't pay attention to it. And I'm wondering if you think that was some sort of energy work that he was doing, and he manifested this blue sphere to sort of work with it energetically, or do you think that was some other force or entity?
Well, I can tell you that I know that when I've done healing work on people, they've seen electric blue in the room. So I can tell you also, I mean, you're seeing a bright blue or electric blue, that's usually psychic protection, shielding, energetically speaking. It can also be what we call his spiritual, celestial influences, whether they're spirit guides or spiritual teams or spirits that work with him. That could be something specifically for him. If you're not seeing it with every person you do a reading on, I would say it's probably correlated to that person.
Yeah.
And something that's connecting with that person or needs to connect with him. Regarding ancestors' messages, especially this time of year, but also his spiritual design work or hers on a multidimensional scale. Once again, you're dealing with light body, too. Don't forget about that.
Yeah. And this bleed-through of timelines, I mean, are people going to be experiencing what they call, you know, the Mandela effect? Or is it easy to pick up on for most people, or are most people just not realizing what's happening?
Oh, I think they're lost. I think they're completely lost. Excuse me. If you haven't done a lot of spiritual work or multidimensional work, I think people are getting distorted in the sense that they're not understanding what's real, what's not real. The false matrix, the false realities versus truth, spirit world versus an imposter or a trickster. So once again, this is where the shaman or the master teacher rises, because most people really won't understand. And even, you know, craft practitioners and witches out there are getting lost. And I can tell you that point blank. I've seen a lot of people out there that don't know what the hell they're doing. Excuse me, my French. They really don't know. And they're picking up on the wrong transmissions and frequencies, and there's a lot out there that they need to use discernment with. So I would say that's why I say use the celestial compass of your cosmic design, which is really about your higher self, over soul, superconscious. You'll hear me repeat that an awful lot, because that connects to pure clarity. It doesn't give you an influence from an outside force that's connected to a lower dimensional space, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. And, you know, you're, the way you speak and the way you portray things, I mean, people – have to, I sometimes when I hear you talking on radio shows or I listen to an interview, I really got to listen to it like two or three times, because the amount of information and the way you portray it, it's like you 100%, I know 100% that you're tapping into something. I mean, you could just tell by the way you talk and the way the information comes, that, and like myself as well, I feel it in me as well, but you are tapped in for sure. That's why when I ask you about certain topics, even if you don't, you've never even researched it before or heard about it, I'm interested in your psychic intuitive sense and you know, your first thought of it that comes to you, because I really feel that you're honed in on like the truth frequency, you know?
Right. And thank you for that. And you're the same way, by the way. And you know what it is? Most of us exist off world. The majority of our energetic design is off planet, which means we have full light Akashic access. So the reason I can stream energy with clarity is because of that, because I already know the data before you ask me. I don't know at the personality level, but the multidimensional design work that's merged with Source and beyond, it does know. And just like you do, and anybody else who's out there who tunes in, and this is why it's so important to have clarity and to switch on, as you were touching on earlier, you know, to, you know, switch on and tune into those frequencies.
Yeah, and I mean, I had have you ever had John Herlovsky on?
No, it's probably somebody I need to have on my show, though.
Yeah, he's a remote viewer. I had him on this show, Spiral Radio, like a year ago, and I had him on my other show like last week, and he just sent me his book in the mail. That he does. He was a remote viewer. He's a remote viewer, and he was a police officer, and he was part of the Project Stargate, and he was talking about remote viewing certain topics and how it's they just get the coordinates. And they don't actually get the actual, like, they don't tell them, hey, you're going to be remote viewing Mars, or you're going to remote view this or that. They just give them the coordinates, and they're supposed to focus on it. Do you think that's more of a limited way of being psychic, or more of like a military option?
I think like it's military. We're remote viewers. I'm a remote viewer before I even knew the terminology. And I know that Ed Dames and people like that.
I feel like
that.
I've been remote viewing most of my life.
Yes.
You know, just in a different way.
The difference is that they've militarized it. They've created their own program pertaining to a type of system that's more analytical, and it's more in alignment with the military and the weaponization of the military versus the regular scrying. that we do, it's just more lucid. But I can tell you point blank, and I also know that when you get pulled into the remote viewing communication systems or the remote viewing, that's all, if you get upgraded into the interconnection with the artificial intelligence, then you're going to have your data streams with the AI and life handlers and controllers and programmers and operators. Now, he was talking about, you said Project Stargate, I'm familiar with that. Also, the SciSpy technology that kind of gets woven into that, because you've got an artificial intelligence communication system, and then you have people telling you in communication what to access and what to look at, and then there is the sacred witness as well. That's when you get more classified, beyond classified technology interface with remote viewing, and that's a system that I'm very familiar with, just so you know. But you have the ability, I'm sure most of your listeners have the ability, and don't let anybody tell you you don't, because I know you do. I've done plenty of sessions, and I've worked with people who are very green, supposedly, on remote viewing, and they're very good once they focus and they understand what's going on with their energy, just allowing it to stream once again. So follow that intuition and that radar.
So I'm interested in talking a little bit about this, too, as well. So, you know, he's a very skeptical police officer type guy. The last person you would think that would be doing psychic missions, you know. So he's the complete other end of the spectrum than we are, you know. So it's hard to get him to admit to certain things, and he didn't want to. The one time I interviewed him, and he's a great guy, John, I love him. But the first time I interviewed him, he didn't really want to touch on too much of the I had asked him about the demonic, or if you want to call them demonic or goblin-type entities that sometimes appear when remote viewing. There'll be like weird faces that'll just jump in or pass you, or some kind of face you'll see in the astral, wherever you want to say you are. And he said that he did see like this goblin type face at one time when he was trying to focus, and then he just let it like slide past his mind. And do you feel that these are lower astral entities, or do you feel that these are some sort of creation or manifestation of that own remote viewer's mind? Or do you think is going on when someone sees one of these faces?
They have what they call the Hive Collective, and they also have virtual space where when you access these areas in your remote viewing, you can actually get into the web of the virtual space.
Yeah.
So that is something that people need to pay attention to.
So now, mind virus or some sort of simulated?
It is actually an artificial intelligence program that's designed to parallel and almost copy and replicate the astral plane or lower dimensional space. So when you access these dimensional spaces, and if you're plugged into certain technologies or you're sensitive to certain technologies, you can actually see these things that are literally more machine-like and more manufactured. Now, that's where screen memories come in also. I have seen things that have been engineered by the communication system and the artificial intelligence that look like hell on. I mean, it just looks disgusting, like an astral plane that's been morphed and distorted, but it's manufactured. And that means lots and lots of people's faces that I don't know these people. I've seen faces like you wouldn't believe. They're not goblins, they're people. But I don't know who they are. I've never met them. It's almost like looking at an FBI file and looking at pictures and pictures and pictures and pictures of people. Tons of people I've never seen. And so, that's my answer on that one.
Wow. So it's like you're scrolling through an overlay, like it's overlaid on you and you're scrolling through.
Correct. But you have to understand, and I know you do, that this what I see doesn't come from source or me. It's coming from the communication system and the technology I was interfaced with back in 2004. And that's some of the bleed-through effect I talk about with my own experiences with technology, because when you get access like that from these departments, these black science divisions, you have a bleed-through with technology. I don't care how far you go when you're shaking off the technology later on in your life, the stuff's always going to be there lingering to some degree. And I've learned this over the years because I was pulled in, in 2004, we're in, 2017 now. But I know how to ride these waves. And I also know what clarity is versus the distortion, and that's why I was touching on the distortion, especially this time of year.
Yeah, and when we get back from break, we're going to touch way more on this too, and I also wanted to talk a little bit about this time of year and how the Pleiades appear closer to the horizon of Earth on this time of year, and how the whole Orion and Pleiades area of our sky is a place to seem where some sort of origins or things get created, and some sort of information or some sort of council of the AI seems to meet, or something is happening within that star cluster at this time of year. And I know you feel it as well. And I know there are also like intense meteor showers coming from that area.
Yeah, tonight, this weekend too. It's going to be a great one. Yeah.
So, I don't feel that just as a random weather occurrence. This is something more in depth, and I would love to hear more what you think about that, and we'll get way more into the mystical side of our spiral of life when we get back from break. This song coming up is called Kandahar by Far Radio Clouds, and you can find my guest Solaris Blue Raven at nightshadowanomalydetectives.com. We'll be back after this and spiral out.
For making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
And we are back. And that song was called Kandahar by Far Radio Clouds. And yes, if you're listening out there and you're in the chat room, all the songs that you hear on this show and on my other show on Truth Frequency Radio is either by me or by my friend Ricky Rodriguez. Both me and Ricky both sing and play guitar, so all the songs here are made by both of us. You can find all the songs that are either on here or my other show on SoundCloud, Reverb Nation. There's many other places. Just email me if you're looking for it. You can find me at moontribe712@hotmail.com. So my guest tonight, Solaris Blue Raven, you can find at nightshadowanomalydetectives.com. And her book, 1 Million Miles Till Midnight, is the most recent. And she has a few other books as well that are very intense. and you can find them at her website and on Amazon. So, so Laris, you know, we were talking about this time of year, and this time of year is a very magical time in general. And, you know, there is some that believe that this season is marked by the eve of November with a rite, you know, that some people call Hallowmas and the Sabbat, the Shadow Fest. You know, there's all different types of names, and it's the honoring of procreative darkness. You know, it's basically seeing the shadow side and seeing the other realm, the hidden realms. And I know this is something that you've been in touch with most of your life. And is there any stories or anything that you can share that sort of happened on this type of year where something from the ancestral realm or something, you know, from some type of experience that you can share with us that has to do with this time of year and sort of these ancestral energies that tend to arise?
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you that my real supernatural experiences were back when I was inducted in 2004, when my mother transferred out 2 months later. But Samhain, this time of year with October 31st, with the Witches' New Year is Samhain, and we celebrate a lot of ancestral attachments insofar as even with animals, we respect those who have moved on and ascended or transcended. And we also offer a portal in a sense of a doorway for them to communicate if they so choose to. Now, I'm sure you're probably familiar with the Dumb Feast or something like that, but there have been many rituals I've attended or actually facilitated where we allow for ancestors to connect and commune with us. Sometimes we'll even just set the table for an extra plate, drink or whatever for those who have departed. Little things like this to keep in mind while for any of you out there who've lost a relative, an ancestor, or somebody recently, it's a good time to acknowledge their spirit passing and also prayers, because the power of prayer, as you probably know, is extremely significant. There are a lot of people out there who need light as they ascend out. They need to you need to let them know it's okay to move on. Sometimes we have emotional attachments to those who move out or move on beyond the spectrum. And we keep pulling them back energetically, and we don't let them go. So this is a time to let go with grace and allow for these things to move in spirit, but also celebrate their life while they were here. You can take pictures. I mean, I can go down a whole checklist of things you can do. I mean, you guys probably know this, but it's a good time to celebrate the spirit of rebirth and also transformation and the cycle of death, which really there is no death. It's an energy exchange in consciousness. It's really nothing. It's just like walking from one point to the next point, except as a dimensional space and frequency. So that's, for me, I've attended a lot of ceremonies that I found very, very sacred and very powerful, just because we were there in a moment in the illusion of space and time celebrating those who have moved on. And of course, that does include the animals as well. So hopefully that helps a little bit.
Yeah. And, you know, also that this time of year, I feel, is a time where, like, There's a little line that tends to start to merge, you know, be sort of like the mortal world and ancestral world and these other realms. The gates are sort of rising and merging, and in between this little realm, in between this little gray area, I feel is the land of what we call the Fae and what we call the Fae realms, if you want to put it like that. And I feel that these are sort of part of this whole artificial AI machine, and these entities are sort of connected to our consciousness and our genetic memory. And this type of year, I feel that this time of year, that I feel it's just more out there in the forest. It's more alive in the energy as the seasons are shifting. These entities are sort of come into our consciousness a little stronger. Maybe it's because of where the Pleiades is at in the sky. Maybe that has something to do with it as well. But I feel that this is the time where more Fae encounters or more things in the forest or woods start to become alive to our consciousness that we wouldn't most normally see. Mm-hmm. And I feel that even that the church and the Catholic Church is well aware of this, and a lot of times they are putting monasteries and churches and places like this in spots where there's high spiritual energy, high power, like a place where there's portals in the woods or some kind of real magical energy in a location, they'll counteract it by putting like a church or a monastery on that place of spiritual power to try to counteract that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they hijack all of the power spots. And actually, it's not just the Vatican, but it's military. They do it globally, and even with ley lines, they'll hijack anything with power, with energy, just like what I was talking about when they create a distortion through frequencies. That's what they're doing. They're hijacking these power spots. And what I would say is taking your power back, you know, taking time to look at yourselves as multidimensional beings, but also accept your power and start utilizing that power, maybe even to disable some of this stuff. If you find that something's created interference in a portal and you're accessing this portal, dispel the interference. Don't think you don't have the power to do it. I know you do. And this is for everybody who's listening. Things like this, we have to start representing our celestial races. And that means the star families, the star people. When we do that, we're actually disabling the distortion. And that, I think that's what we're doing naturally while we walk this world. But you're right. This time of year is very, very sacred, very powerful. And it is very magical and supernatural. And there are a lot of people out there who are interested in conjuring things and, you know, ghost hunting and this, that. And that's fine. But understand that be careful what doors you open. Be careful what portals you're accessing. Because what comes in has to go out. And you have to be careful as far as what you're bringing in, right? So I've always told people, you know, it's kind of like spiritual hygiene or multidimensional hygiene. Just be careful with that. But yeah, I agree with you. That's what they've been up to for a long time here.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm not going to disclose the location, but I have a spot near me that has a high spiritual energy in the woods. And I feel that because a church, and it's owned by the Franciscan friars now, that whole land, and I feel they changed the energy to that woods where now there's a darkness about it. Mm-hmm. And the portals, which may be at one time a positive thing, have now become a place to lure people, lure certain entities, and you can get caught between realms and lost. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you get drawn to this certain energy and it gets activated, that I feel it can catch you between realms, and you can get caught in between realms, and you could be missing on this realm, and the physical plane, they're looking for you, and you're in some reflection of this realm where it looks the same, it might smell the same, it might be reflected light from this realm, but it's not the same realm. It's an alternate dimension of this realm.
Yeah, I was going to say alternate reality for sure. Yeah, I agree with that. And that's another reason why we have to pay attention to what they're doing. They're creating a yolk around the pure energies of consciousness and magic. And of course, I have to tell you how the witchcraft in general or any spiritual work was bastardized, and you know, witches were hunted down and persecuted for various things, and only because they were accessing multidimensional space and consciousness. You know, you can't fool anybody who's in on this path of the mystics. You just can't fool them. They're very tuned into multidimensional design, which means we can identify who's telling the truth and who's not. So I think that's always been a threat to them. You know, if they want to create this crazy little environment where everything is controlled and manipulated, and we can't be part of that, and nor could any other species for that matter. So it is something to look at on that level. And I agree with you that kids, I know there are a lot of kids out there who, I don't want to say kids, but teenagers who like to dabble with things. You have to be really careful, because what you were describing with what I would call a phantom zone, you have no idea. This place is getting so bizarre with energies bombarding us. It's like this galactic highway, but then there's this manufactured artificial intelligence highway with it. So you've got to be very careful where you're navigating, and you don't want to get stuck in any type of an alternate space that's not productive or detrimental to your spiritual growth.
Yeah, and before we get to the couple of questions in the chat room, I wanted to comment too that, you know, I think that when we get caught in this other zone, like we're putting it, you know, it's like a mortal, our eyes cannot see things the way they're meant to see in that realm. The eyes of us as mortals move way too slowly to fix upon the moments of time instead of what becomes of time. You know, we see things where things were, not where they are.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, it's kind of like raising your vibration so you can see with multidimensional sight.
Yeah, and when we
don't want to
be
sluggish.
Yeah, and when we do this, we become subject to the barriers of time, which is past, present, and future.
Right. And also, remember, time is a construct. It's created by man. It really doesn't exist. It's a state of being. It's a state of consciousness. And also, it's also very slow in frequency and vibrational spin. That's why they're able to manipulate the matrix, because it's always about vibration and spin and modulation of waves.
Yeah, and you know, in most witchcraft traditions, they believe in these fae realms, and they believe that the light from these fae realms comes from the land within the realm itself, and you know, as energy can emanate and come from all things, so it's like a reflection of the realm itself, and you know, these entities tend to appear to people that are very psychically capable. And they tend to also appear when people are filled with misery and are very alone and will be in a high energy area or spiritual energy place. And an entity will appear to them and say, oh, you're filled with misery. Well, I can make you a king or a queen in some other realm and some other land. You know, you just and there's stories of people being sent into another realm where they could be king, but at a price, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard about that. I've also heard of tales like that in Ireland and in certain areas too.
Yeah, I mean, they go from Russia to Ireland to Italy to everywhere. And in the chat room, they were saying, you know, how we were talking about how the churches put places on these energy spots. The chat room was wondering that if the church actually are creating these energy spots by putting the church there. And I would say no, because these spots were high energy spots way before there were churches.
Yeah, they're attracted to the power and the energy, but they want to hijack it so they can control, manipulate it. And also they want to be able to be gatekeepers to what comes in and what goes out. And they're using a distortion and frequency and also belief systems, which is a form of a matrix to do it. So it's, you know, it's just like the old days. You'll see all these sacred lands and power spots, and all of these churches are built over them. It's amazing. They used to be like pagan spots, and you know, it's just wild. So, yeah, it's always about control. And I don't have to put special glasses on anybody to get them to realize that these big churches, especially the Vatican, have always been about control manipulation. It's always about controlling the hive.
Yeah, and they have they're the strongest business and army on earth, you know.
Yeah, it's a corporation, too. And don't forget that it's, you know, it's not a church per se as in belief in spirituality. It's actually a corporation, yeah, without a doubt.
I mean, there's also, you know, there's a tales in, I know, in the Italian witchcraft and Italian mythology and lore, which is basically like history to my ancestors. They talk of how there was a war in the Fae realms, and there was basically where an ethereal army, you know, an astral army or an ethereal army of a jealous god drove the fairies or the Fae from their cities. You know, they had these cities, and the Fae then found refuge in our mortal realm, where they awaited for a time where they could retake their lost lands. And then when the one god came into the world of humankind to displace the many gods here, his armies left the land of the Fae, and then the Fae then could return to their original land. And that was the one myth with, you know, in the Italian mythology. And I'm wondering if you know, when they go back and they took a battle with the old ones of the earth, you know, were the old ones what we considered our past lives with us, and that's where this internal struggle and where these fae can also be now tricksters to us in this incarnation? Are they actually still at war with our humankind?
Oh yeah, they're at war because we're not human. We're star people in bodies. That's the thing. We're immortal souls that we come from the stars. We go home to the stars. And even if we enter onto this world in the illusion of, we don't come from here. This isn't our birth.
And when I say they returned home, they return home to their shimmering realm of light, which is the stars.
Right. Yes, absolutely. But that's what we are. And we're made of stardust. I mean, if you want to look on the biomolecular level of who we are and what we are, we're star people, always. I mean, even on the scientific scale. But it is about that. It's always been about galactic polarization in the sense that it seems like there's been a struggle and a battle for a very, very long time. And I think that there's some big players here that have been here before. You know, I would say we were probably one of them, or, you know, you and I and many others probably listening. I mean, there's some players here that have been here. We're old ones. We're ancient ones. We enter back onto the timeline probably to make sure that this false matrix gets destroyed and disabled officially. Yes. Because it cannot keep going like this. This is a carousel from hell. It has to stop, because what they've done is they've entrapped the spiritual growth and the evolution of beings through belief systems that are based on false belief systems to incite people into this reality where they can control, manipulate them, and destroy them, and then recycle them at their own will, which is more about artificial intelligence. You know, recreate these people to come back where they have amnesia and they don't even know what's going on. We've got to break that spell and that cycle.
Yeah, and I feel, you know, that's totally why we have amnesia, because I feel we agreed to come here on this mission to be here now to remember, you know, and fight this, like we're, like you're saying. But somehow this plane got hijacked by these dark forces, and now we're coming into this realm with amnesia, not remembering our mission. And that's why I feel also a lot of us, and I feel there's probably a couple hundred thousand of us on the world right now that have these ancient, if you want to put abilities or ancient information within our genetic memory that needs to be just remembered and activated. I think there's probably a couple hundred thousand of us that are on this mission to fight this, to take our realm back. And now a lot of us are deliberately put or placed into certain situations where we'll have the most strikes against us. We'll become into a place where we have alcoholic parents, or there'll be a drug or some kind of bad environment growing up, or you'll have to overcome all these obstacles or all these things that you'll be put all on these, all these courses in your life to divert you off of your true mission. And the ironic thing is that most of us, when we go through these experiences, it makes us go down the spiritual path eventually anyway. You know,
yeah.
So
that's exactly it. And what's interesting is never forget, and I know you don't, but never forget how powerful we are, because we are so powerful. We don't need technology. We are the technology.
Yeah.
We are celestial beings in suits. We are avatars when we choose to be, when we ascend into that level of consciousness. One thing I can tell you is that the the artificial intelligence that they use is really about them trying to control, manipulate the mass collective, as you probably know. But the battlefield, in my opinion, I believe we've already won this war. And what we're doing is kind of waltzing through the dead zones, so to speak. But we've already won. We've already ascended. It's just that we're going to continue to keep growing and evolving, but we have to keep reminding each other, first of all, of our divinity, our celestial starseed heritage. That's very important. Our empowerment, we have to make sure that we support each other as spiritual brothers and sisters, and have, and also to deflect these attacks and support the other spirit worlds too. What you're talking about, the Fae and these other, it's so important to respect these other dimensional spaces, because they suffer as we do. We're multidimensional. They're multidimensional too. If there's a bleed-through effect and it's hitting us, don't you think it's hitting them? So understand that these, we're all on the same wave, and we're all navigating out of this false matrix.
Well, that's interesting, too, that you say that, too, because I had – and I see the time is running out. We only have like 8 minutes, so I had something I wanted to bring up with you. And you being very psychic and very intuitive, even if I know that you haven't ever researched this or heard about it, and maybe you have, but I would love to hear your take and your first intuitive thought about this area of our world and what took place there a long time ago and how it might be affecting certain people that consider themselves light workers now. Okay, and I have a very ancient connection to the Hopi as well. And I don't know, I have some sort of, if you want to call it a spirit guide or some entity or maybe attachment or some kind of, who knows if it's a good or bad thing, but some kind of energy that I've been able to communicate with since I'm about 9 years old. And it's a young Hopi star child, I call her. And certain things that I've seen and information that I've researched and pulled in over time, I've become aware of certain, and the Hopi are, for a most part, a very warm, peaceful society and shamanistic culture. But there, of course, are certain areas of every culture that are involved in some darkness and some dark witchcraft, you know, and dark rituals. So there is a part of the Hopi that practice a Yaya ceremony, they call it. And it's funny because they even call Yawu the great white brother. It's very similar to Yahweh. And, you know, that's who they call their white brother. So there is, So there's also, they call the Posi or the Eye, is a name for the medicine man who basically would take an eye from the animal kingdom so he can see in the dark or see the darkness. Mm-hmm. And he would use this as a magical eye and for evil purposes. Now, there's a thing to gain new members in their dark tribe. They would, by witching others, basically, they would astral project and astral travel and kidnap sleeping children and kidnap their spirits in a way. And they would fly by night and in the dark of the moon, they say, to a red rock place, which is basically Sedona, Arizona. And it would be a great cliff near the mouth of Canyon de Chelly. And this is where the first Yaya ceremony was anciently performed. And now I feel in that area of the Red Rocks near Sedona, where this ancient Yaya ceremony, draconian magic, basically snake priest magic, was performed using the eye of a snake, you know, that some sort of dark portal was opened up amongst these red rocks. And now people are channeling this ancient virus for the psyche, basically, in this area. And a lot of these people are thinking they're channeling the prime creator or channeling this ascended master or that ascended master, when they're actually channeling some kind of ultra intelligence that can tap into the genetic memory of our world and feed it information. And they're feeding you this information. You're thinking you're getting it from some great source, but it's actually like some kind of archonic machine.
Right. Now, I think you're spot on a lot of that data right there, because I do know from my own personal experience with artificial intelligence, it does mimic, and it plays the mimic. It plays the imposter. It's really good at that, and it learns from us. And it also learns from our brainwave activity. So I can tell you that, yeah, I agree with you that there is many portals, not just even over there in Sedona. Sedona is one of the hotspots, but they do get hijacked, as we were discussing. And as they get hijacked, more entities are attached over there, to a point where there's people who are pure, you know, they're channeling energy. They're not going to know. They're not going to use discernment. And they're going to start channeling entities or disembodied spirits, or even what you're describing as an artificial intelligence interface. And that has to be stopped. And this is how you have to use discernment with people who say they're channeling. And I mean, I am a multiversal being. I understand channeling. I understand mediumship. You have to be very careful right now, because there's too many entities out there. And this is why I keep telling everybody, higher self, oversoul, superconscious. You are your own surveyor. You surveil your own environment through your oversoul, your soul star. And anything else that tries to intercept or connect in, it has to have permission, and you have to understand what it is that's communicating with you. So, yeah, I agree with you on that one. When you mentioned the Yahweh, that's very interesting, because a lot of people have misrepresentations with Yahweh, but it's also connected to the ship of light, and I don't think people understand that aspect of it. So I think it's interesting that the Hopi connect in that way.
Yeah, no, there's positive Hopi, like to answer the chat room, there's positive Hopi that use things from the animal kingdom to see, you know, to use it as more of a, to scry with it almost, to like remote view in a way, you know. But there was another part of it, which I'm talking about, that was used for evil and sorcery and evil sorcery. So it's not necessarily that saying that it was all used for evil. I'm talking about the one little patch that was used for evil. I mean, it's been documented in many books even. You know, this is not just my opinion. You could pick up the Book of the Hopi by Frank Waters, and they document, you know, how this tribe was using this for dark ways, and using it to bewitch children and kidnap them in their sleep, you know, and to use them and their high spiritual and psychic and pure energy as being children. They were using that, you know, hijacking that energy. So, you know, do you feel that there was a dark portal opened up from this ancient ceremony in that area? Because I feel that people are being lured out there. A lot of
I see it too.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
I think there's something there that's pulling them in. It is what I call a wormhole. It's not even a portal. It's a distortion, which means it's manufactured. So if it wasn't if it was a natural portal, then something's happened where it's been hijacked once again, and we're dealing with wormholes. Wormholes are different than portals. Portals are Stargate portals. You have wormholes which create the distortion. You don't want a wormhole. I don't care what anybody tells you. Don't go into the wormholes. Connect to the Stargate portals. Because wormholes are the distortion of the false matrix, and they'll lead you to nowhere. And also, I know we're running out of time, but just to kind of touch on the Native Americans, I've had plenty of Native American elders talk to me about how they've been taken over as far as possible possessions of people with their tribes over in where they live. And I know a lot of it has been government experimentation, and we can go maybe touch on that another time. But just so you know, these people are being targeted because of their spiritual work and their access to the star people and star families as well.
Yeah, that's very well said. And of course, we're going to have you on again another time. And everybody, you can find my friend Solaris at nightshadowanomaliesdetective.com. And you can find her at KCOR Radio with her show Hyperspace. And you can find her on freedomslips.com. Is that right?
Freedom? Yes, indeed, it is.
Yeah,
Freedom thank
Slips
you so much.
For Witching Hour, right?
Yes, indeed.
And thank you, Ron. We'll see you next time. Next week is Gary Wayne. And we'll see you next week. And me and Gary are going to be talking about Fallen Angel Friday. And it's going to be really close to Halloween that day. So we'll probably talk about some killer clowns as well, like Gary said. So I want to thank Solaris for joining us. And I want to thank my producer, Sarge, and everybody for participating out in the chat room. and for joining us on the World Wide Web out there. Have a safe evening, and Spiral out.